when you have to refer to the compound, has
mebufotenin
taken over yet? Or is it still 5-methoxy-DMT?
We refer to it as GHO1 or mebufotenin.
Welcome to the RTW podcast. I'm today's host, Connor Williams, Senior Research Analyst at RTW, responsible for research in neurological disease. Today, I'm speaking with esteemed industry colleague, Dr. Vili Valcheva, CEO of GH Research, a cutting-edge biotech company advancing therapies for psychiatric and neurological disorders. You wouldn't normally find me in RTW's podcast studio, but there's quite a bit going on in neuropsych that's worth talking about. I recently had a conversation with our Chief Business Officer, Stephanie Sirota, about the emergence of psychedelics as a transformative therapy for treatment-resistant depression. And now I have the privilege of speaking to Dr. Valcheva, an industry leader with more than 20 years of leadership experience in the pharmaceutical and biotech industries, including companies such as Albireo, Ipsen, and Sanofi. Vili, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here, Connor. I'm really excited about this.
Let's begin with GH Research. What is GH Research, and what's the main problem you're trying to solve?
GH Research is a biotech company. We are headquartered in Dublin, Ireland. We are developing a treatment for mental diseases, and our value proposition is that it would be a practice-changing treatment that would lead to ultra-rapid remission, which can be sustained with infrequent administrations. Patients with depression nowadays suffer insurmountably. They have years of depressive symptoms without any treatments that could lead to remission. Usually it takes oral antidepressants 4 to 6 weeks to work, and there's very low percentage of patients that get any remission. We're developing a new treatment, GH001, that could lead to improvement in the depressive symptoms even on the same day of the treatment, and then is sustained months and months with infrequent administrations.
I know you said you're treating depression, but it's specifically treatment-resistant depression. What's the difference between that and maybe run-of-the-mill depression that you might first treat with an SSRI?
So patients with treatment-resistant depression would have multiple major depressive episodes. They would be treated with at least 2 prior treatments that would have been taken in the appropriate dose and would be ineffective for weeks. These patients with time become resistant to any antidepressive treatments, and it's hard to find a new treatment. So they could suffer for years before anything works. So that's the treatment-resistant depression. There's a high unmet need, and believe it or not, there's millions of patients out there in need of new treatment.
Right, 3 million patients in the US with treatment-resistant depression.
Yeah, correct.
I know standard of care is Spravato. How do you think about Spravato, particularly as it compares to your therapy that you're developing?
Yeah, Spravato is currently the benchmark. It gained approval a few years ago. The difference between Spravato and us is that Spravato has a very complex induction system where you need to give it twice a week for 4 weeks and then once a week for 4 more weeks. It takes time for patients to feel the benefit and go in remission. With GH001, which is our treatment, patients are treated once. On the same day, they already see benefit, which our phase 2B data showed, and that's sustained with a lot less treatments, on average 4 treatments for 6 months.
How long would a treatment visit last?
With GH001, 1 day in the interventional psychiatry clinic should be around 1 to 3 hours. There is 1 hour observation period, after which patients are ready to go home.
How long do you think patients can go between doses of GH001?
We foresee that there will be infrequent treatment visits, so maybe on average 4 treatments in 6 months. We are still in phase 2B. We're planning for a pivotal program. The pivotal program will show us a lot more for the future of the treatment. I guess as well, something else that happens is when a treatment is in the market and it's available to physicians, with time they learn how to use it, and it all optimizes the treatment regimen.
What was compelling about GH that attracted you to work at GH, and what do you think is the biggest potential risk?
I was the chief medical officer in the company when the board offered me to become the CEO. I'll never forget that day. We were on holidays and I told my husband, you know, I might become the CEO of my company. And he said, no. I am extremely lucky to have a very supportive husband. We've been married 30 years now and he knows that I'm an ambitious woman. So he's been very supportive with me becoming a CEO. Why did I take the job? You know, being the chief medical officer, I was deeply involved into the phase 2B conduct. And I already knew that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to change the treatment paradigm of such a big disease. As much as it sounds a cliche, I thought, you know, becoming the CEO of the company gives me the ability to hold the destiny of this drug in our own hands rather than entrust it in somebody that would come from outside. So I've got a great team at GH. I've got a fantastic drug that we all know now that it works based on the phase 2B data. I guess the biggest challenge is not to mess it up. And it's all about execution. I am a very much execution type of person. So it also made me think perhaps I'm the right person for this particular treatment, for this particular company, and that's how I took the job.
And maybe even before that, there was a time point where you were researching what 5-methoxy-DMT was. I guess, what were your first thoughts? Because 5-methoxy-DMT, it's not exactly a regular molecule you come across every day.
When I read about 5-MeO-DMT and GH research, I thought, you know, that's a challenge worth taking because, come on, everyone has a relative or a friend that have been depressed. And there is complexity around psychedelics, but it's not something I'm not able to face. So these were my thoughts, maybe complex, but more exciting and definitely worth taking on as a challenge.
What do you think makes GH001 different from other treatments in development for treatment-resistant depression?
If you're a depressed patient, struggled through many years, can't enjoy life, can't enjoy time with your family, you can't go to work, you want something to work quickly, right? You don't want to wait for weeks and be exposed to multiple side effects before you get some benefit, if any. And the difference with GH001 is that you go to the clinic. It's a visit of 1 to 3 hours. You do the inhalation, which could be 1 to 3 inhalations, depending on what dose you need. And after that, there's improvement in your depressive symptoms 2 hours later. That's, I think, is number one difference. The second difference is that oral antidepressants you take every day and you suffer from the multiple side effects they have. Spravato has this complex regimen. You know, patients could be drowsy even on the next day. They can't drive. They need to be driven home. With GH001, usually the side effects are mild to moderate. They're around the psychoactive phase. And 97.4% of the patients in our phase 2B trial were discharge ready 1 hour within the last dose. And there was no sedation and no dissociation at discharge. You also have the convenience of infrequent retreatments, and 4 times on average in 6 months is really doable compared to everything else that you need to either take every day or twice a week or once a week. A lot of the psychedelics are developed with mandated psychotherapy. Our program is without mandated psychotherapy, which brings simplicity. When you go to the clinic, you're administered and you can go home. There is no necessity to have psychotherapy sessions, which improves the cost, the scalability in the commercial model, and gives the patient choice.
I've said it before that I find it to be a really compelling data set, and I think it is the best treatment-resistant depression data at least I've ever seen in my life. I can't think of another study that's any better. And the delta is 15 points on the MADRS scale, placebo-adjusted. Could you help us understand what the treatment effect was to patients and how it compares to standard of care?
First, just to say it's 15.5 points. Okay. Just making sure we sweat a lot for this data.
For other companies, half a point would mean a lot and it would be most of their effect size. I remember when we were in our office on the Friday before the data came out, me, Rod, and Gotham were betting what the placebo-adjusted delta would be. I was saying I would be happy with anything north of 7, and Gotham was saying he thinks it would be closer to 9 or 10. When you first showed us the data and it was a 15-point delta, I remember being more shocked than I've ever been in my life because it's incredible. But to anyone that doesn't know what a 15.5 MADRS delta is, What does that mean?
Even on the day of administration, already when patients come out of the treatment room, they say that they can put tasks into problems. They can cope with the complexity of life, which was a massive burden because of the depression, better. They can do things one by one and start enjoying life. So patients might want a nice meal or a nice cappuccino, go to a cafe or go to the movies with their family. And to you and me, that might sound trivial. Right? Okay, we can just go to the movies. But depressed patients, they lose the ability to enjoy life and to participate in life. They don't have friends. Their family is usually staying away from them. They lose their jobs or they're not efficient. So a reduction of MADRS of 15 is a tremendous improvement in somebody's way of how they feel and how they enjoy life.
If I'm remembering, Spravato remission rates are 20% and you guys had north of 50?
So Spravato remission rate with their monotherapy, that is their most recent data at day 28, which is their primary endpoint, is 21%. And our remission rate is 57.5% on day 8. First, you see it on the same day or in the first week, the change in the patient. Even the neighbor notices it. And with Spravato, it's gradual. And you never reach these high levels of remission like with GA001.
Right. I still think about people I know telling me that the data had to be fake because the placebo was too low. I'm like, what do you want? The placebo can't be 10 or you'll be upset. But if the placebo is less than 5, you're still upset. Insanity.
Human nature,
right.
But a lot of the top QLs think this is our biggest achievement. It provoked this wave of QLs that now are writing up papers and a guidance on how to manage functional unblinding in order to support us with the FDA. So they're actually talking on our behalf to the FDA for the measures to address functional unblinding so it doesn't become a hurdle.
Obviously, 5-methoxy-DMT is a scheduled substance in the United States. Could you maybe talk about the difficulties of developing and running trials with a scheduled substance?
Very important point and learning from the phase 2B is planning. Because you need to get these controlled drug licenses for the sites and every new trial, every new drug, you need to get a separate license. That takes time. So it's important to plan and to take into consideration the US regulations, but also each state, because it could differ by state. Then there's also rules how to manufacture, how to distribute, and how to store the drug on site. There's multiple rules and regulations that we need to observe. And now that we've completed a large trial with 80 patients and more than 20 sites, we've got the know-how how to do it.
Exciting. 5-methoxy-DMT is a psychedelic, and there's obviously a lot of stigma. How do you deal with that while developing it as a serious medicine to help patients with an unmet need?
It's changing. You know, there's countries where it's a lot easier now to develop psychedelics such as Australia, Netherlands, some of the states here. How do we do it? Media needs to stay away from these stories that could lead to stigma, but rather focus on the positive results such as our data and the fact that psychedelics can change the treatment paradigm of mental diseases, not just depression, but PTSD, anxiety, and many others. So it's a combined effort between us biotechs, and we need to always present the positive data that we generate, but also the media should divert their focus from sensations and focus on the positive data, which would destigmatize psychedelics.
I know there's often a lot of media arguing that they're not safe. I guess with your compound, 5-methoxy-DMT, what gives you confidence that this compound is safe to give to, you know, the masses of people who have TRD and need another option?
Well, our compound is synthetically manufactured in GMP facilities, and we derive pure 5-MeO-DMT. We know exactly what dose we are delivering to the patient. We are delivering GA001 in a safe clinical settings, and it will be one day in the interventional psychiatry clinics. And the phase 2B data shows that we've had no serious adverse events in our double-blind data that we presented, and that most of the adverse events that patients see are mild to moderate, such as headache, nausea, and others that subside around the psychoactive phase. It's important to differentiate retreat and being a severely depressed patient going to the clinic for treatment. There's a big difference.
Can you explain the drawbacks of paradigms that use psychotherapy in combination with a psychedelic?
therapies developed with psychotherapy have few hurdles to overcome. The FDA and other regulators don't regulate psychotherapy. Number two would be cost, because psychotherapy adds to the cost of the overall treatment. And added to that is the convenience, because when you go to an interventional psychiatry clinic, you need to factor in the cost of psychotherapies, the time, which would bring a different commercial model compared to what we have.
Obviously, you guys have presented really impressive data recently, but what are you most proud of during your time at GH? What really fulfills you about the job?
What fulfills me is success. That is what drives me the most. And it's not success driven by my own ego. Every little success makes me extremely proud. It's success with the data, but it's the success in the BD and the PPD trials as well, which were very positive. Developing our own device. Every single step we take towards making this drug available makes me proud and happy.
Yeah, the bipolar data as well as the postpartum, that maybe touches on something interesting in psychiatry. What other indications, aside from treatment-resistant depression, do you think that a molecule like 5-methoxy-DMT could be purposed for?
So we've got a long list of different indications that we've been approached by the scientific community, academic centers, KOLs that definitely see GH001 would work. We have the proof of concept in postpartum depression and bipolar disorder too. These are two conditions with very high unmet need. We also see from our phase 2B data that GH001 works really well in anxiety. PTSD, for example, is another condition. Patients with terminal end-stage cancer as well could be another area. Incurable pain, chronic pain. That's the good about GH001, that once we develop it for TRD, then we can expand on other indications.
I actually do have a question now, and I'm genuinely curious because I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
You know, 5-methoxy-DMT, it got its international non-proprietary name.
Mebufotenin.
Okay, how do you pronounce that? I've been trying to figure
Mebufotenin.
It out. Mebufotenin.
Yeah.
Internally at GH, obviously you refer to your program as GH001.
Yeah.
But when you have to refer to the compound, has Mebufotenin taken over yet? Or is it still 5-methoxy-DMT?
We've developed our formulation. It's proprietary. We have the device, so we refer to it as GH01 or mebufotenin.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to practice that a whole bunch more, and maybe I'll come back and be able to pronounce it next time I...
It's the bufo.
Oh, that makes sense. The frog, yeah.
Mebufotenin. I don't know if it's related to the frog, but it definitely makes it easier for you to say it.
In terms of GH's trajectory, where do you see the company going in the future?
Our focus is to overcome the hurdles in US and have a global pivotal program and then develop the treatment for TRD, look at other indications and expand into other mental diseases. That's my goal. I think GH has the opportunity to become a big player.
We absolutely agree. Your product GH001, which is 5-methoxy-DMT, it's derived from a frog that you can find, particularly in the Sonoran Desert. Have you ever seen one of the frogs in real life?
So I was at ACMP last year in Arizona, and you're going to find it very funny, but I did go to look for a toad. One of the QLs told me that in order to see a toad, it needs to rain, and it didn't rain for a long time in Arizona. So no, I haven't seen a real toad, but I can tell you that we manufacture GH001 synthetically in GMP facilities, and there are no toads involved into
no
the manufacturing.
No toad farms in the future of GH.
No.
Apparently you have to startle the toads to get the secretion of bufotoxin. Do you know exactly how they scare the toads?
To be honest, I don't know how exactly it's done. If you want to join me, you and I can go look for a toad and gently startle it. And then we can leave the audience on a cliffhanger, because next time you and I meet, we can tell them what happened.
Okay, I love this. Maybe shifting gears to talk about you, what do you attribute your success to? What type of leader are you? And do you have any advice for young people who see you as a role model, particularly young women in the industry?
Since I was a kid, I've always been very ambitious and I always strived for success. I'm also a very positive person and an extrovert. I love to engage with people externally. And the CEO role actually allowed me to expand on my areas of engagement, not just QLs, but I now engage with Wall Street and investors, engage with media. And it's something that I really, really enjoy because it allows me to spread the positive side of the development and the accomplishments we have with GH001. As a leader, I like to deconstruct complexity and make it simple and then have a crystal clear vision that I communicate to people. CEO job is not for the faint-hearted. It's really busy. There's a lot of commitment required. You need to be very careful to keep your balance because you can easily just only work and do nothing else. And you need to enjoy it. What I say to my team is, I will do everything to inspire you and to bring you forward on our mission. But you need to be happy with what you do. You need to enjoy the ride as long as it goes and be happy with our mission. I guess that's who I am as a leader, very open, very transparent. One of my favorite things is to have young people on the team and see them evolve. And I just wanted to say, believe in yourself, but then live in the today. And also super, super important, be ambitious and never be mediocre. That's the road to success.
Vili, thanks so much for speaking with us today and giving me more airtime on one of my favorite subjects.
Pleasure, Connor.
The RTW podcast was produced and recorded by me, Devin Lever, at the RTW headquarters in New York, and edited by Dominique Guerra. To make sure you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the RTW podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and most other podcast platforms. Follow us on LinkedIn at RTW Investments LP, and check out our website at rtwfunds.com for the latest updates and insights. This interview was given by Dr. Velichka Vili-Valcheva, CEO of GH Research, and moderated by Connor Williams, Senior Research Analyst at RTW Investments. This episode is the second of a two-part series. Listen to part one to hear Connor Williams and Stephanie Sirota, partner and chief business officer at RTW Investments, discuss psychedelics and treatment-resistant depression. Statements reflect RTW's views and opinions as of the date hereof, and not as of any future date. All expressions of opinion are subject to change without notice and are not intended to be a forecast of future events or results. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent.